I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove, promoting and supporting music and the performing arts from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Indian Summer Jars is an acoustic, folky, bluesy rock trio based in South Central Pennsylvania, featuring the lush harmonies of Sarah Beth and the real Sarah King, and backed by percussionist Bill Lamphere. They played one of the very first official Wood Stove House concerts back in October of 2009, and came back to the Wood Stove House in May 2010 to chat about the band and record some brand new tracks live in the Wood Stove House studio. To learn more about the band and check out their extensive show schedule, visit them on MySpace at myspace.com/IndianSummerJars. So welcome back to the Wood Stove House, to Indian Summer Jars, who are with me. Indian Summer Jars were at the Wood Stove House last October doing a house concert, one of the earliest, one of the first house concerts we've done here. So, and it was a great night.
Wow, it seemed really organized.
Well, we had actually done quite a few sort of trial, but until we formalized and figured it all out, that's really what we call the beginning of it. Let's talk about the beginning of Indian Summer Jars. Can one of you tell me the story of how you found each other and how you came together?
Yeah, I could start. You can finish.
All right. Sarah Beth, can start.
Yeah, we met at an open mic at Appalachian Brewing Company in Harrisburg. And Sarah was with a full band, and I was solo. And we just kind of were introduced and went our separate ways. And we're both playing solo for a while. And I don't know how it was, we started sharing gigs and...
Well, we kind of would bump into each other every now and then because we kind of like ran in the same circles, social circles. We'd see each other like at parties and stuff and just kind of say, hey. Then I was actually, I had like the band, I guess that was a while ago, wow. Mm-hmm. But then I was playing acoustic shows with my friend Jeremy Patterson, who had also had a band, the Glorious Filaments, and... he got really busy doing that, and he was also like waiting tables at the Left Bank, and you don't want to like give up those Friday and Saturday nights where you can make so much more money than you can make playing music. So then it was like, well, you know, Jeremy had to go and make money, and I still had these gigs. Then I was like, oh, well, why don't we, I'll invite Sarah Beth to come out, get her out into the scene. She wasn't 21 yet, so I had to kind of sneak her in some places. And that just sort of made sense after a while to just collaborate and start playing some music together. And then we were like, why didn't we think of this sooner?
Yeah. How long ago was that? When did it all start?
I think we started performing together like 5.5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. We used to measure it by Little Buffalo festivals.
But they had us too many times.
We already played 4 times there, so... But. Yeah,
what
we
was
need
the,
to get some new people.
What was the very first Indian Summer Jars gig?
Probably
ever?
Crimson Frog.
Oh,
coffee house.
Maybe.
I don't know. We used to play some coffee houses.
I guess that we played together. It might have been Crimson Frog.
As Indian Summer Jars. Yeah.
It's funny.
We didn't call ourselves Indian Summer Jars at first.
What was the first?
We were Sarah Beth.
And the real Sarah King.
That was the name of the band.
Yeah.
Sounds like a rap.
Yeah. Well... It's because we kind of had like our separate things that we did before.
And people recognized us, so we weren't even at that point thinking of this, what it's come to now.
Yeah,
and it was just kind of like, well, let's...
We didn't want to call ourselves Sarah Squared. We thought that was really dumb.
Yeah.
Everyone was always like, you should call yourself Sarah Squared.
Like, well, that's original.
Yeah. The Sarahs. I mean, people call us the Sarahs, and we get used to that. I mean,
yeah,
we don't mind being called the Sarahs,
no.
But...
Because at least that's accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not terribly corny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a track called The River Catcher, recorded live here at the Wood Stove House Studio.
Your eyes tonight.
the name come from? What's the story behind the name?
Story behind the name. Sarah does a good shortened version. I came up with the name.
And I came up with the meaning behind it.
She came up with the abridged version of it.
That's how we work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the name Indian Summer Jars came about because we feel in the Indian summer, when you have that unexpected turn of good weather, people are more inclined to call off work and take spontaneous trips and live life a little more to the fullest. And the jars part of our name is about preserving those moments when we choose to break from routine and really live our lives and sharing them with others and encouraging them to do the same. So really it's about, you know, capturing the moment, the essence, and building those relationships and those moments that you're going to remember for the rest of your life that are not just ordinary, you know.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I know there isn't really a name for it in the spring, but I think the same thing applies.
Mm-hmm.
There's those that first weekend.
Definitely. People get all giddy.
Yeah.
They're
the energy is there. Yeah. Yeah, that's the point.
It's one of the most unique names of a band, especially around here, I think, right now.
We get a lot of people, like, you know, they...
A lot of people don't like it at first.
At first, and then we explain it to them. I think it's just too much to say, or I'm not really sure.
We're going to make some stickers that say ISJ, like kind of like OBX.
Yeah.
Put them on the back of the car.
Yeah. Bill's not here. Bill Lamphere is our drummer. He's been with us for, a year now?
Yeah, almost. Well,
almost.
I think he kept track of it, but...
He's probably got it written and mentioned scratched it on his basement wall somewhere.
Yeah.
But he's added a lot of energy, too, so it's kind of like it's all... We met so haphazardly, but it was meant to work. And now Bill's come along, and it's just been...
He takes it up a notch.
He's definitely,
really, really always so excited to play with us, mm-hmm.
Always smiling. Yeah. And he buys us stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's cool like stuff. Another dad.
Score.
Figure, yeah.
How did you meet Bill?
We accept all of his gifts.
Yeah, this is cute how we met him. His daughter and his wife run a granola stand at Central Market in New York, and we were playing music in the street that day. On Beaver Street, it's our favorite street in New York, and we love the beef. Anyway, so we go in on our...
Periodically, they pay us to stand out in front of the market and play. Like, so we look like we're busking, but we're actually getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great, because then people put money in, because they think we're not making any money.
Yeah.
And then we can make a little more.
Yeah.
But tell how we met.
So we were hungry after that, as we usually are after performing, and we came in and bought some granola.
Yep.
And so we were like introducing ourselves to his daughter, who's also named Sarah. And we're like, oh, wow, three Sarahs all here together. And so we were saying that we were playing out there, and she's like, oh, my dad plays drums. And he like pops up from behind the granola stand like, what? Hi.
He heard the word music and he was like,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like so, a gopher.
We were like, cool, you know, what kind of drum do you have? And he has like djembe, so like he ended up, we said, why don't you come out and play with us at the White Rose sometime? We play there once a month. And so he went and ordered the CD online so he could practice all the songs.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, and then he just showed up one day and was like surprised that we still recognized him. And we're like, oh, isn't that the granola guy? Like, hey, did you bring your drum? You're going to sit in with us? So
he was like, oh, yeah.
And then he's like, really? You're letting me sit in with you guys? You guys are awesome. And we're like, yeah, stay. You sound good.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And there had to be another Sarah in there, of course.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
And plus, because he's already familiar with dealing with crap from women named Sarah, like his daughter.
He's familiar with our
He is already, you know, broken in a little bit. She's a tough woman, too.
She is.
Is that a Sarah thing?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't met a Sarah that couldn't be tough.
I was captured by the man of my dreams. He ain't real. laid down by the edge of the creek. We made love, babe, 'cause we don't know how to speak. And I'm not
so the first, the debut CD, the first CD, similar from 2008. There's a couple of songs on the CD that to me are standout, and The Dream was the song that I think, you know, I'd met you briefly at McCleary's one night, and then later visited your MySpace page, and that song just really jumped out for me. Is there anything about that? Like, where did that come from? What's the genesis of that song?
Well, it's basically a kind of about a wet dream. But what
Sarah gets lonely sometimes.
I do get lonely. No, it's kind of about just continuing and stumbling through some rocky relationships and almost losing hope, but then the chorus is, you know, I'm not afraid of the water, meaning, you know, you're just gonna keep going and not, I guess, take everything for what it is.
Not thrown in the towel quite yet.
Not quite yet. I got a few years left. So
you're young.
Yep. But so that's kind of where that song came from. It just it was one of those. It was written. I find the best songs for me come out all at once in just a spurt, mm-hmm. And that was one of those. You know, the chords came and the words came, and it all worked out. But
yeah, it's a fantastic song.
Yeah, thank you.
That part where. It's, I guess, the second verse, mm-hmm. when you go up. It's like, wow.
I was captured by the tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah.
It's like you reach for the volume in the car.
Yep.
I was captured by the tricks up his sleeve. He's got plenty for you, and he's got plenty for me. So let's pull.
Another song that that I think really stands out is The Biscuit.
Oh yes, yeah. That you like that one?
I love it.
The cool. Biscuit's the song that came with the guitar.
It did. That's exactly right.
Talk about that.
Well, I bought this. I used to play a lot of electric guitar, and started getting into acoustic, and I ended up trading a Les Paul in for this cool resonator guitar, and it was called The Biscuit. That's, you know, it was an Epiphone. I still have it, but anyway, so I did literally took this guitar home, and out came that song, and it was one of the first that we were playing songs together, but for me that was kind of like, wow.
Why didn't I think of a harmonizer all there?
What'd you say?
Was that one where you were like, why didn't I think of adding someone to harmonize?
Well, that I wrote when I knew you.
I mean, no, I mean like, well, that's one of the big harmony songs, though.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Where it's just a very, like, it works together, mm-hmm. Yeah. Really well. And we kind of fell into our pattern of how we sing with each other with that song.
I'm a wild, wild girl walking up and down the line. I let you choose your illusion. Let me choose mine. I don't think too much of this thing called time. Well, I think too much, and I think this is why I'm alive. For the reasons I'm alive, for the cause I don't know. Kind of energy you've been running on, 'cause I'm tired and I'm spent. I just don't wanna rest my head. Maybe in a soft, soft bed or another shot of gin. And if I work all day, I may never see the sun, and I will live my life like convict on the run. I got no bones, no chain, got no prison to speak of. Got this one fine thing, fine thing called love.
there's a there's like a tension with the vocals. Mm-hmm. There's like a it's like an emotional tension. It's not really lyrically for me, mm-hmm. but I just love that.
Cool.
And
it's just because it's you get to that, like, it's almost like when you're in theater and you're on stage and you're performing a moment, mm-hmm. where, like, my voice teacher used to tell me, like, you want to be like right on the edge of like exploding all over the audience with your emotion, but still being able to not, you know, still right, under control. Right. And that's what it's like. So she one time stood behind me and pinched my, between my, like right behind my elbow like this to try to get me to, I was reading a monologue, I think, and she wanted me to get angrier in it. So she just pinched right there to try and get, you know, that sound, that intensity.
Did it work?
Breaking through. Oh, yeah. Definitely. All those little tricks.
Just real quick about the chorus of that song was, I worked in a warehouse for about a year. It's like I got out of high school and I was never good in school because I didn't go very often. But anyway, so I got this job in a warehouse and I was really struggling with, you know, what am I going to do? And I can't, there's no sunlight in here. It was hard work. And so the chorus is, you know, I decided to leave that job and I moved on to much better things. Not better money, that's for sure, but better things. But sure. It's just, if I work all day, I'll never see the sun. It's just talking about, you know, once again, it kind of ties in with the name, our theme, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of getting out and you know, doing what you want to do.
The last time I saw you play was at the Launch Music Conference in Lancaster this year in 2010. And I felt like that a lot of the new songs that I didn't recognize had that same kind of sound to them. It felt that like that to me. And I don't know if it was, you know, the Guinness. But it's
being caught up in the moment.
I just, okay. It was an incredible set. Best set I saw from anybody the whole conference.
And
Thank you. I felt like, yeah, it was just, there was a moment, you know what I mean? There was... We were at Annie Bailey's, and there was a ton of people there that weren't necessarily for the Launch conference. I mean, that place is, mm-hmm, is just packed on the weekends anyway. Mm-hmm. But there was that nice sphere of people around the music, you mm-hmm. know, about 5 or 10 people deep, and just sort of surrounded the music. And,
it was
and
cool.
I don't know, there was just a really good energy. And
we could feel it.
It was almost like was we awesome. Planted them there to be like, you guys rock.
They were cheering, and we were like, because
we didn't know any of those people.
No, I'm telling you, that set really.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That set really, it was really full of energy and really exciting.
It's good beer, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Very good.
Well, thank you on behalf of the Saranac Brewing Company in upstate New York.
I was going to say that's upstate New York, which is where the Black Fly Blues, that song on there, came from.
Oh, really?
I can tell a little funny story about when it was written.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about that.
So it's the Black Fly Blues was written in the Adirondack Mountains, and it's funny. I drove and drove and drove to get up there 8 hours, and we get to this cabin, and it's peaceful and quiet, and it's late. It's maybe 10:30 at night, and there's one little cabin across the way. And I said, I'm just going to sit outside and play my guitar. And I strum like one chord, and the neighbor was like, shut the hell up. And so I was like, thank you, and went inside. And then the next day I wrote this song, which wasn't inspired by that at all, but it was just the whole... whenever we play that song, I always remember that.
Right. In fact, most of the titles that you have for your songs have nothing to do with the song, well, other than like the moment.
The moment
that you wrote it.
My memory isn't the greatest, so and I write a lot. So sometimes to keep things straight in my head, I just, you know, the Black Fly Blues. It was Black Fly season. And I think there were probably a lot of flies around when I wrote the song. So, but the song's actually about divorce. Nothing to do with black flies, but
it's such a happy little sounding song too. It's so ironic because it's about divorce and it's all like, you know, bright and major key. And
but it's a nice twist on it.
Yeah. You know.
Wrapped around your fingertips, another pair of vacant lips, Say what you can about this backwards and best it fits. Gone from your vacant mind, any sense of space or time. Words that fail to rhyme are all your lips could find.
You mentioned new recordings. Where are you going to be recording?
We're going to be at Folktown Studios in Marietta with Stephen Courtney.
That's great.
Actually, Radio Vibe Records.
Radio Vibe Records. Yeah, so that's the name of the.
He's going to be a label supporting us. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I saw that you did a video at Folktown.
Uh huh.
I don't know if there were more than one. I saw one clip online. What was that like? What was that experience like?
That was fun.
It was
we
fun.
Had a great time.
It was a lot of fun.
So. I mean, it was just, he was doing some advertising for Folktown because he had had a bigger studio and then he like turned it into something smaller that was like close to home and right, like walking like 3 steps from home for him.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
it's a neat room too. It's almost like an old, like a refurbished barn. And he's got these cool spiral steps and it's a very nice, warm atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to. And I think Sarah and Bill agree working with him because he's a musician.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen kind of can relate to a musician's needs a lot more
real.
And he does kind of some more that I like. He does some earthier sounds from the recordings I've heard. And that's what we
like kinda, to keep it simple.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Well, you keep it simple, but you got a lot of stuff going on for two or three people live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, the percussion really. That was the thing, one of the first things, I think, when I saw you at McCleary's in Marietta, it was really impressive, was the ability to take two people as a duo. I think that's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge that not everybody can succeed with, and you do it very well.
Got to keep it interesting, for
sure. Yeah, you have two people, which works, or three people with Bill, and the sound is huge with the three of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's big with the two of you. It's huge when you add Bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a hard challenge to be able to make a lot of sounds with only two people because economically it works better and scheduling.
Yeah,
you know, all the
definitely.
Sort of logistics that are wrapped around a band work so much better with a duo or a trio.
I still think we need a bus.
Oh.
I've been on this bus kick for
a while. No bus.
You can get a short bus.
Oh, what are you trying
expensive.
To say?
We don't need a bus. We can just cram everything into my Buick like we have been doing.
That Buick is huge.
We just have to take
very
two cars
spacious.
To everything unless... Hopefully we'll be playing more events that just run their own sound and then we don't have to bring as much stuff. But we keep adding other instruments too. Like I've been playing keyboard on some songs too.
Oh, okay.
So, but when it's like a short set, I don't bring it out like,
right.
Because it's bulky and I have to stand like sideways or backwards and look over my shoulder and be like, hi guys.
One gig we actually had to put her in another room entirely. So we played.
I just kind of looked over.
A couple
that didn't
songs.
Work very well.
It did.
I was like, I can't hear the monitor.
But it went okay, though, you know. The world didn't end. It was,
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Mostly.
This is Catalyst by Indian Summer Jars, recorded live exclusively for Around the Wood Stove here at the Wood Stove House. What's your favorite venue to play?
I wonder if we'll say the same thing.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Be like
Flavor Fest at the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, that's pretty
hands
cool.
Down.
That's pretty cool. It's, I would say, you know, Flavor Fest is probably the most fun festival we've been lucky
it's
enough
like,
to do.
I can't believe we get paid to do that.
2 years
so
in a row.
Fun.
The local gig, though, I would have to say, except for, it's very difficult to run sound there because it's
It's
Bistro
in the
19.
Yeah,
Bistro
I like
19.
Bistro 19 a lot
wooden
too.
Floors, wooden walls. We play right in front of this big glass window. But the layout is really cool, and the atmosphere is very neat.
And the people that work there are awesome, yep, too. So, like, so good, great bartenders. Mm-hmm. And
It's a good place to play. I don't know. I can't think of anywhere else.
That we play regularly. We play a lot of different places. We really enjoyed McCleary's.
That was a blast.
Last night we played at McCleary's.
Mm-hmm. Gene is wonderful. He's really...
We liked that a lot because they run their sound there, and they have... We played both outside and inside on the patio. Yeah. It was really nice, except for it was so hot. But
it's funny. There's such a... every venue and type is so different.
Sure.
I love festivals because you're going to be playing to 5-10 times as many people as you normally would. But what I don't like about them is everyone's so far away. Yeah. And you can't... You're pretty much up there in your own show, and you just have to do what you're going to do. Whereas when we play these small bars and venues, you can interact and you can feel
you
the crowd.
Get to meet the people.
Meet the people. And you can at festivals, but it's just you're not as connected.
Mm-hmm. We always have to bring an extra person to festivals to sell the CDs while we're doing that, but we don't really remember to do that all the time.
Right.
The other good thing about the festivals is the sound, because it's so big.
Awesome. Yeah.
Right. And we're just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when we played at the York Fair.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, is there a show that stands out as the most bizarre? Like where you walked in and were just sort of like, whoa.
Definitely. Yesterday, we played a spaghetti dinner for a VFW.
Oh, yes. That was really bizarre.
Two people came for the spaghetti dinner, and it turns out that the fire company and the VFW had their spaghetti dinners in the same week. And so,
the
whole town came out to...
Everyone was so sick of spaghetti.
Yeah, they wanted more spaghetti. But it was creepy because we were playing in front of, a wall of, 100 old photographs of these old veterans, and they were all just kind of staring at you. And I was like, I don't know, this is really creepy. But that probably stands out in my mind.
You're listening to a track called Shake by Indian Summer Jars, recorded live here at the Wood Stove House Studio.
It's hard to see the ocean from my windows. It's hard to hear the rivers in my head. It's all the concrete here, all the parking lots of forever filtering in. Trading me the freedom for a phrase. It starts with F and ends with you. Trading me the wisdom for all my passing days, for relief before the consequences came. For relief before the consequences came. Somebody ought to wake me now. Somebody ought to wake now. Reality shook the words out of my head. Somebody ought to shake them back in. Somebody ought to shake them back in.
Well, thank you very much for coming out and
thank you,
doing
Jason.
This.
Yes, thanks
really
for having us.
It. We'd love you here at the Wood Stove House. Hopefully you'll come back and do something else with us.
Oh, definitely.
That's
a great experience.
All right. Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House with inspiration from the creative works of Lancaster. Our theme song is the old-time traditional tune, Buck Dancer's Choice, performed by Jeff Sims and myself, Jason Mundock. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
That should have been our answer for our favorite venue to play.